Cape Talk Inspiration Wednesday.
Now, my guest today is someone who turned an unspeakable tragedy into a journey of personal growth, and one that might, in fact, help prevent other families going through the trauma that she did. Her name is Mabuyi Mhlangu, and a little over 2 years ago, she lost a child. Her young daughter was hit by a car while crossing the road and died at the scene. Many mothers would have retreated into grief, but Mabuyi chose to face her pain head on and look for answers. She enrolled for a master's degree relating to road safety, and she's hoping her research might help other families avoid the trauma that hers has suffered. I'm delighted to welcome Mabuyi Mhlangu on the line from KZN. Lovely to have you with us, and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
I have to start by saying, Mabuyi, I'm a parent myself. I can't begin to imagine the grief and trauma your family has faced. We are so sorry for the loss. Can you briefly tell us what happened to your daughter?
Well, it started out as a fun, you know, day for all of us, because it was the 1st of September and most schools observe Spring Day. So I had my daughter dressed up and we set off to go to school and also work. And strangely enough, we chose to use one car. We don't usually do that. So all of us got into my husband's car, and they just decided that they were going to drop me off first. They dropped me off, and the car turned back to go and drop my daughter off. And as that happened, because I was on the other side of the road, I saw the car stopping, and my daughter shouted she forgot the 5 rand that she had to pay, towards the spring day for colored clothes. And immediately she ran across the road and trying to get to the other side, to my side. But unfortunately, then she was hit by the car while all of us watched. And as you said, she died on the spot.
Mabuyi, I mean, the trauma of witnessing it, the questions of what could have been different, what if we'd gone in two separate cars as we usually did, what might have been, would haunt many families. You chose, though, to take those questions and address them and filter them into your studies. I believe you'd already enrolled for a master's program. You're a civil engineer. You were already interested and working in the field of transport studies. But this experience and this loss made you decide to change the focus of your studies. What did you decide to do?
Actually, as you said, I work for the Transport Authority in eThekwini. So when I enrolled for my master's, I work in the BRT project, which are new in the country. So I wanted to find out more about BRT, and my mind was set that I'm going to do my thesis on the BRT. In actual fact, I actually put together a proposal, but then life changed when my daughter was then killed by a car. And at first, I was a bit reluctant to whether or not I need to do this because of how painful it is. But at the same time, in my head, I had all the questions. Was there something that I could have done? You know, I'm a professional engineer, and we build the roads, we design the roads. Is there something that we're missing in all of this? So then I took up the courage to investigate road safety, and especially road safety concerning child pedestrians. And I also chose to look at the accidents in the vicinity of the school. Because the world, yes, I understand, is wide, but in my head, I feel and I think that it's something that is easy to understand, that all of us should protect our children or protect the area around our schools where children are most exposed to all these issues.
Yeah.
So for me, I zoomed in into investigating road safety around primary schools, because my daughter was also 11 and she was young. So I chose to study primary schools within eThekwini. And when I set out to do that, I had no idea what I was going to find. Because but it was actually a healing process for me.
Yeah, what you found was shocking. I mean, Mabuyi, the stats tell us, in fact, that the road traffic incidents are the second leading cause of death for children worldwide.
Yes, yes. And children from low-income areas are 5 times more likely to be involved in traffic accidents. So for us, as Africa, as South Africa, we have the higher rate. And also Black African and colored populations are also most at risk, the children that come from there.
Now, this is despite the fact that we are trying nominally anyway to teach our children the basics of road safety. It's something that is covered in schools. It's something that I think every parent does. You hold your child's hand. You teach them about looking left and right and left again and being very careful before they cross the road. Even if we do all those things, they still remain at high risk, because part of the problem is their brains just aren't fully developed yet. They don't have the cognitive skills necessarily to take what they've been told and taught and translate that into action in their own lives.
Yes, I investigated child behavior and the causes really of the road traffic incidents concerning children. And yes, the study does confirm that at a young age, children are not developed enough to actually understand and process all the information that is thrown at them when they're about to cross the road. Their peripheral vision, their hearing, they are also just by stature short, so they are not as visible as an adult when trying to cross the road. That whole scenario is also worsened if there are cars that are parked along the road. So the first time that you see a child, you see them already on the road, you know, because you could not see them whilst concealed by a vehicle trying to cross. So, yeah, and also, but that's just the road environmental factors. And child behavior as well came up tops in my study, that boys are more at risk because they want to play more compared to girls. And in some instances as well, when I spoke to the principals at the school, I found out that boys sometimes even play games and, you know, dart and dash across the road and see who's actually going to miss the cars. Imagine that.
Yeah.
So child behavior actually contributes to about 70%. Because, first of all, they are young, they don't have the cognitive skills, the attentional skills, the perceptual skills to navigate the road. So, and also when I investigated the effect then of education, and whether or not it can be used as an intervention in this regard, I found out that school-related or classroom-related teachings only exposes and gives the children knowledge about, you know, the road signs and how to cross. But that knowledge does not necessarily transfer to behavior. So the most effective way to teach your child is, first of all, take them to the road. Show them. Children are very familiar with the concept of show and tell. So when you are going to your corner cafe to go and buy bread, don't jump into a car. Take your child and expose them to that environment. It also eases their attention, you know, when they are faced with that situation at a later stage. So they need to be familiar with the environment as well. Take them with you, show them, tell them, play games with them. And the study also revealed that the more media, you know, be it visual, be it via games, be it practical training, even video games and TV will also help. But just try and use all the media that is available to you and the tools that are available to you to expose children.
Mabuyi, let me just recap for those who might have joined us late to the conversation that I'm chatting to Mabuyi Mhlangu, who has recently graduated with her master's degree, having gone through the unspeakable trauma of losing a child who was run over by a car, ploughed that experience into her master's research and looked at the issue of road safety, particularly around primary schools in the eThekwini area. I know that you took a look at what other countries do and how they manage the spaces around schools in particular, Mabuyi. And it was quite interesting to read, for example, I believe it's Australia has a school zone concept, that it's not only about keeping the immediate entrance to the school gate safe, but and actually they sort of throw a much broader ring around the school and the surrounding neighborhood.
Yes, in actual fact, in my study, what I found is that the schools, the highest schools with the highest, the schools with the highest incidence are actually located within 3 kilometers of each other, a kilometer of each other. So where you find a cluster of schools in, within a kilometer, that's where the highest incidence are. You can imagine in the morning and also in the afternoon, the kids just flood the streets. So the motorists, then there is a big encounter, you know, between a vehicle and a child. And also there are higher order roads that are close to the schools that are identified in eThekwini as having the highest incidence. So it's not only just those schools that are, you know, tucked in the residential corner right there, but those schools are within the high order roads. These are high speed roads with 100 Ks as a speed limit, you know, and there are no measures at all, obviously, to make sure that traffic is calmed for children to cross, because according to our engineering classification, higher order roads cannot be used, so we cannot use any traffic calming measure in those because they are predominantly used for high speed and for mobility. Yes, so in that instance, I looked at, first of all, what's happening within eThekwini and the policy that we use to calm the roads within our schools. And I found out that our policy as a eThekwini is to provide traffic calming on the road where there's a school gate, no other road. So even if there's a high-speed 120K road right next door, there is no treatment whatsoever to prevent road traffic injuries. So when I looked abroad and wanted to see what other countries are actually doing, I found out that Australia has adopted the school zone concept. So they look at, they identify a school and draw a ring around it of 2-3 kilometers. It varies from country to country. Okay, and within that ring, they throw everything at it. So they look at traffic calming. They enforce speed limits. They remove the parking along the roads. All those things that will actually ultimately become causes to these traffic injuries to children.
It's a fascinating subject. Now, just in the 30 seconds we've got left, Mabuya, I know that you took those findings from your degree and presented them to your employers in eThekwini. Are you confident that they are going to consider some of the proposals that you've put forward and rethink the way they approach the challenge in their city?
I am very confident that we are going to actually implement my recommendations. I work for the department, so even if they are slow in actually taking up this concept, I'm going to make sure that I see it through. It is my recommendations, and this subject is a subject that is very close to my heart. It's a personal matter for me. I did not do a study just for fun. You know, I didn't just pick a topic from the hat and hope for the best for my master's. But for me, it's a personal thing, so I have to see it through. And also, I've got support from the head of the department, and we're going to try and make sure, obviously, step by step. We can't do everything all at once because there are budget constraints and capacity issues within the department. But yes, I am now an ambassador of this. I mean, I didn't choose it. It just happened to me. So that's that.
Mabuya Mahlangu, thank you so much for sharing those fascinating insights with us. I'm so sorry for the circumstances that made you an expert in this field, but what absolutely incredibly important research has come out of it. And thank you for sharing a little bit of insight with us today.